So the next question we're going to look at is how to process, be fruitful and multiply in a contraceptive world. Scripture teaches that children are a blessing from the Lord, yet we live at a time in America where children are not born at nearly the rate they once were. The generation known as the baby boomer generation was the largest birth rate population in American history. This was following World War II, and it was also a time when Christianity had a great influence upon America. From 1946 to 1964, 76 million babies were born in the United States. Then each generation following, Gen X, Millennials, Gen Z, and the most recent generation, Alpha, birth rates have only decreased as time has gone on. In fact, the only reason the population in America has not declined over the years is because of immigration, and immigration has increased drastically over the last 50 years. The United States is the number one nation in the world that people want to live in. That's how you know you live in a good place, right? People want to come here. It's the desire of the world. So this has made up for the decline in the birth rate in America. The decline in birth rate has not kept with the historical rate of birth. Historically, children per woman was 2.1. This is a good level because it holds the population of a nation steady without decline. In other words, when someone dies, that person is replaced with someone that is born. But the decline is shown clearly in the smaller birth rates. The most recent statistics reveal that only 1.57 babies are being born per woman. This is a major decline from the healthy 2.1 babies average per woman. Now, why is it that less babies are being born in our nation, and not only in our nation, but also all across the world? One culprit is that people either are not getting married or people are waiting longer to get married. When husband and wife marry fairly young, more times than not, they have children and tend to have more children. But when people don't get married, child rates drop. And even when people marry later, child rates also drop. In the present, 50% of American adults are married. This is down from the peak in 1960, which was 72%. The decline of marriage has been steady. 1 week ago, I explained the stat of those waiting to get married. Once again, in 1975, 91% of women were married by the age of 30, and 81% of men. In 2025, only 25% of women are married by 30, and only 16% of men. All of these numbers together are remarkable. There is less marriage, and therefore there is less children. This pattern goes against God's design, as we are going to see in this sermon. Once again, I'm not going to encourage you to turn to a specific place in the Bible, but I do encourage you, as always, to write these verses down. And the notes will be in the news blast on Tuesday. But here's our big idea as we begin. Know that every believer is called to follow and promote the Lord's mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Know that every believer is called to follow and promote the Lord's mandate to be fruitful and multiply. We're going to see four areas in this message. The first is God's mandate. The Bible teaches that humanity is to marry and have children. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." As married couples come together, it is a blessing for them to have children. As Alan read earlier, Psalm 127 verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, their fruit of the womb, a reward." We know the blessing of children from our own experience. And of course, Scripture affirms this very thing. Having children is not only a blessing, there is an expectation from the Lord that married couples will have children. The Lord gives this command in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. I read this morning already, but it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, not every married couple is able to have children. Infertility has always been an issue in the world, and probably more so now than ever as we get closer to the return of Christ and we live in the greater effects of the fall. So not every married couple can have children, and the Lord has a plan for those couples. We need to show great sympathy to couples that want to have children but are unable to do so. In His wisdom, the Lord makes this so, and it is for purposes that the Lord has in mind for these couples. One of my closest friends didn't get married till he was in his 40s, and his wife was in her 40s, so they were past the time of having children. This man has been such a blessing to me and to so many others. Even though he is not a biological parent, he's very much a parent to many in his life, a spiritual parent. Then you consider that the Apostle Paul was not a married man and did not have children. And as he wrote in 1 Corinthians 7, he saw that there was a blessing to being single, and the Lord has this design for some. So the Lord does have a plan for some to be single and for others to be married without children. But for a majority of married couples, this is not their call. Scripture teaches with that command in Genesis 1 that those married couples that are able to have children within the childbearing age should seek to have children. It is not an option. It is a command. Sometimes you hear couples say that we don't want to have children. This goes against the creation mandate and the Lord's command in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I remember hearing from one of my professors, he was a biblical counseling professor at my seminary, and he often did premarital counseling. And one time a couple came to him and said, you know, we don't want to have children. You know, they were in their 20s. You know, we don't want to have children. And he said, well, I'm not going to do your wedding then, because Scripture commands in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He did this because he believed they were going against this command given by God. It is only later that some couples discover that the Lord has not called them to be biological parents, but has called them for a different purpose. But most married couples are called to be parents. It might be one child. It might be two, three, eight, or some even have larger families than that. But the Lord's mandate to humanity is to have children. As believers in the Lord, we need to pay attention to what the beginning of the Bible in Genesis says. Okay, so that's the Lord's mandate, to have children. But then we're going to look now at the opposite mandate, and this comes from the most evil being in all of the universe, and that is Satan. Satan's mandate, Satan's plans are the opposite of God's. God wants there to be a multitude of children in each generation born into the world, while Satan desires the destruction of children. The number one way that Satan destroys children is through abortion. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, where the United States Supreme Court legalized abortion nationwide, 66 million babies have been aborted. But on June 24th, 2022, something major happened. Roe v. Wade was thankfully overturned. Now, this does not mean that abortion is gone in America. Abortion has now gone to the states, where some states have strong abortion laws, while others still allow for abortion. But the lie of abortion comes from the devil. He tells women that they have the right to choose instead of calling it the taking of a human life. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father, the devil." These are the words of the Lord Jesus. "And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This is what abortion is. They are lies spread that precede the murder of children. A human heartbeat can be detected at about 3 weeks. from conception. Isn't that remarkable to think about? So just about every abortion happens after this 3-week period. So just about every abortion that takes place is the stopping of a beating heart. Okay, so there's no question this is a person. And even at the very beginning, when life happens at conception, it is still a life that needs to be preserved. Satan loves to kill babies, and his lies have been highly successful in America and all around the world. Satan has also succeeded in his efforts to cause a decline in marriage, and also the deceit of persuading married couples not to have children. Satan's plan is the opposite of God. He doesn't want children to be born. He doesn't want husband and wife to be fruitful and multiply, which he gives in the creation mandate in Genesis 1. Now, we are going to look at the third area that we are to know that every believer is called to follow and promote, the Lord's mandate to be fruitful and multiply. And this is really the crux of the question here. So we're going to look at modern-day birth control. There are many couples that would never abort a baby, but they will use contraceptives to prevent birth either entirely or until they desire to have a child. In a world where there is birth control and family planning, is birth control even an ethical option, and does it violate the be fruitful and multiply mandate? When a married couple is thinking about having children, it is normal and good to figure out the timing of when you want to have children. You want to be responsible, right? You want it to do your best to make it the right timing. So this brings up questions about how to have a child at a certain time and not at another. It is common for younger married couples to wait a year or a couple of years before they have children. Brianna and I did not start having children until about, actually, Alethea, she was pregnant with Alethea at 19 months into our marriage. Okay, so we enjoyed a healthy season of just enjoying each other in early marriage, and I highly recommend that. It's really a special time before children come. We have fond memories of that early time together. When we wanted to start having children, the Lord blessed that. Now, are contraceptives a good thing? I believe some of it is black and white and some of it is a gray area. Any contraceptive that kills the fertilized egg is ethically wrong. This is a form of abortion that no Christian should take part in. We have seen the increase of these drugs that end life because in some states, as I mentioned earlier, the normal way of having an abortion, that is surgically removing the child, has been taken away. Women wanting an abortion have sadly been able to get these chemicals delivered to them that will end the life of the baby in the womb. Now, there are other contraceptives that don't kill the fertilized egg, but they do prevent life from forming. These are more in the gray area. With these, I suggest caution, and here is where most of my caution is coming from. Research has shown, even though there has been an effort by globalists to suppress it, that birth control pills have had negative effects on women. They have helped cause infertility and other problems like endometriosis and cancer. People have to ask, why is there so much infertility in our day? When you put chemicals in the body that work against God's design, negative effects are bound to happen. There is a similar conversation with all the foods that we eat. Whether we want to believe it or not, our food supply in America has been polluted with harmful chemicals. And there is an agenda behind this, make no mistake about it. This was RFK's whole thing as he ran for president. Make America healthy again. Now, this is not some crazy conspiracy. This is true. He was later appointed as the head of Health and Human Services. He wants to get the chemicals out of our food so that the food that we eat is pure. In America, we have organic food options. In some countries, they don't have organic food options because everything there is organic. They have not had these chemicals come in to their food supply. So we need to be careful what we put in our bodies. And by the way, this is interesting. In America, do you realize that 74% of American adults are overweight? That's a staggering statistic. 74%. Now, is some of it because of laziness? Yes. A lot of it is just because of our food supply. If you go to a foreign land where they do where they have healthier foods, and if you're there, Alan can attest to this, right? He went to China. He lost weight while he was in China for 1 month. Did he go on some great exercise program? Or you probably walked quite a bit, but yeah. If any one of us went to some of these countries where they do not have the foods that we have, we would lose 10 to 20 pounds within months. Our food supply does this to us. Okay, and we need to recognize that this has taken place. So we need to be careful. We need to be students. We need to be careful what we put in our bodies. And I think that people can go overboard at times. We can treat ourselves. That those things are good. But if you have some here and there is no big deal, but generally we should care because as 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and we should take care of it. So it might not be unethical to use contraceptives, but is it wise? This is a question that husband and wife need to ask. There are safer and more pure options like natural family planning. This is where husband and wife figure out how nature works when it comes to reproduction and then act accordingly. There are lots of resources out there about natural family planning that married couples can access to receive help. There's also in vitro fertilization known as IVF for those couples that have tried but have been unable to have children. People wonder whether IVF is ethical as modern technology is used to produce the biological formula that creates life. One thing people need to understand is that even with IVF, who is it that gives the spark of life? The answer is God. Even though it is not the traditional way that children have come into this world for thousands of years, what is the same is that God gives the spark of life. You see this in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. What is it when that text says that he breathed into the man the breath of life? Do you understand that that's the spirit? There's nothing physical that he breathes into us. Because humans are made of body and soul. He breathes into us the soul that is the mind, the will, the emotions, and then, of course, we have the physical side as well. But he breathes that into us. Without the soul, the body cannot function. We have to understand that. We are creatures that are human physically, and to be a human means that you are physical and you have a soul. If the soul were to be taken out of us right now, we would drop dead because we cannot live without the soul. James says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Right? So Scripture makes this very clear. Many Christian couples have used IVF, and the Lord has blessed that, but it should be a final option when all else has failed to have children. But there's one more thing I want to say about contraceptives, and I briefly mentioned this earlier. There is an agenda attached to these chemicals that relates to this question that we are addressing today about be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And again, it sounds like conspiracy, but it is true. And we know that it is true because they have said it out of their own mouths. Okay, and maybe I'll say something here about conspiracy. We live in the time of great, you know, where conspiracy theories are a big thing. And they've multiplied exponentially because of the internet, right? Anybody can get behind a camera, get in front of a camera, and get behind a mic and spout anything. And people are gullible; they will believe anything. Some of the most followed people in our day are conspiracy theorists. They literally just make things up, and people believe it. We need to have discernment. Is there evidence? Not this guy was connected to this guy who was connected to this guy who was connected to this guy. That's not evidence. We need evidence. We need hard evidence if we are going to believe anything. Okay, so this is my... In an internet world, If someone says something and multiple people say the same thing, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It is fact. Okay, so that's what we deal with in this church. We deal with facts. There is a depopulation agenda out there. God wants the population of the world to increase. Satan wants the population of the world to decrease. 1 John 5:19 says, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Satan rules this world while God has them on a chain. And in the future, as we saw in our sermon about Satan and demons, the Lord will defeat Satan once and for all. Now, he's already been defeated at the cross when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Satan was defeated, and he's still fighting, but he's fighting as a defeated foe. And he will be thrown into the lake of fire, as Revelation 20 says. But while Satan rules in the temporary, his agenda goes forth, and his agenda is to depopulate this planet as much as he can. The most obvious way he depopulates is through abortion. That's the easiest way. But his purposes go beyond that. Listen to what the globalists are saying. Bill Gates, a very evil man, in a video presentation said this a number of years ago. "The world today has 6.8 billion people. That is heading up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really good job at new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we can lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Okay. Remarkable. He actually said that. Now, this should have been front page news. Nobody even hardly knows that he said this. This is the plan of the globalists. The globalists being the UN, World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization. So when Donald Trump moved us out of the World Health Organization, we should all be cheering. Thank you, Mr. President. Their plan is that the population of the world will get smaller through vaccines and, as he said, reproductive health services. So when people say pay attention to vaccines and pay attention to what you put in your body, this would be wise to pay attention. Not every vaccine has been bad over the years, but some of them have been harmful, and they have been harmful because they were made by evil people with that intent. Right out of his mouth, he says that. Not only that, birth control has led to less children in this world. One thing I appreciate about Alan Walker, we have a resident scientist here. He's had concerns about vaccines, I know. And one in particular that was only a few years ago. Scientists who study these things, they were the ones sounding the alarms. It's not some crazy conspiracy theorist who just wants clicks and money. It's scientists looking at the facts. Now, some have used birth control, and they've done just fine having children, but others have experienced infertility. Common sense alone tells us that infertility is greater now than ever because of the chemicals that have been put in our body. Kamala Harris, who ran for president in 2024 and looks like she's going to run again in 2028, good luck. But yeah, she said on a campaign stop a couple of years ago, listen to this, "When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduced population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water." Yep. Now, she said that on a campaign stop. Investing in depopulation. That sounds like a great plan, huh? That sounds like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So they are saying these things. They've said it. And earlier I mentioned foods as well. When the food supply is polluted, people get weaker. And this too leads to disease and death. It is Satan that is behind this agenda. He wants less people. And in particular, he wants less children. And he is doing this through abortions and through chemicals that are creating an obstacle for couples to have children. Once again, some have used birth control and have done just fine, but others have not. These chemicals affect people differently depending on a multitude of factors. Before husband and wife use it, they should know the risk that is there. But with natural family planning, there is no risk to a woman's health, even though it will take work to figure out the timing of everything. So now we are going to look at the fourth area, the Lord's unique call for his followers, as we are to know that every believer is called to follow and promote the Lord's mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so the Lord's unique call for his followers. Now the question that is raised with this, and some take it this way, does this mean every married couple should just keep having children? Does this mean that every family should be huge? Roman Catholics in particular tend to have huge families because they are very against contraceptives or any obstacle to having children, and so they just keep having children. The parents have 6, 8, 10, 12 children. But is this what Scripture is telling us? Some married couples are called to have lots of children, but others are not. Every Christian has a different calling. Some Christians are called to be single, as I mentioned earlier, as you see in 1 Corinthians 7. But most Christians are called to be married, and most married couples are called to have children. As I said earlier, if you're a married couple and you can't have children, that is God's plan for you. He has a great purpose for you to pursue other ways to serve him other than biological parenthood. And that may include adoption for some, or it may include being spiritual parents to others where you can have a special focus on that. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned, was single, and you see how he was a father in the faith to many, in particular to Timothy, to whom he wrote the letters 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, he called Timothy, "my beloved and faithful child in the Lord." Single Christians can be parents in the faith to others, and married couples without children can also be spiritual parents to those that are not their children. And now, this past week, I saw the new film that just came out in theaters called Young Washington. Highly recommend it, actually. Outstanding movie. It's about the early days of George Washington. And in particular, it focuses on God's providence in protecting him and in elevating him in his young years and eventually to being our president in the future. God's hand was clearly on this man. George Washington is called the father of our nation. How many children did George Washington have? He was childless. And yet he's called the father of our nation. So we have this great president. Many say he's the greatest president we've ever had, our first president. And he's considered the father of our nation, but did not have, he and his wife Martha did not have any children. The single, the married without children, and the married with children are called to make a difference in the lives of others, whatever that looks like. And wouldn't it be great at your funeral one day that a multitude come forth and say that you are a father in the faith, that you are a mother in the faith to many? I've been to funerals like that, and it is so wonderful to see that legacy. We need to be those that grow in maturity and wisdom over time, where it is not just biological children that parents have an influence on, but also others the Lord brings across one's path. We should seek to be good parents to our biological children, if he gives them, and spiritual parents to many. The Lord is not calling every married couple to be parents of a multitude of biological children. Some have that strong urge, and that strong urge is itself the Lord calling that couple to have a multitude of children. But others the Lord has called to have less, but to be faithful with the 1, 2, or 3 that you have. The less that you have, it opens up more opportunities elsewhere. And this is where we need to realize that we've been given time in this life to make a difference for Christ's sake. All of us are given the same amount of time. The question is, how are we going to spend it? The more children you have, you're going to be more focused in the home. And if you don't have children, your focus can be elsewhere. And the Lord opens up those doors for those people, and that's wonderful. So we have to understand, the more you have, the more responsibility. And if that's someone's calling, well, great, pursue that calling. But if that's not your calling, then do what the Lord has called you to do. We are told in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We are told in 2 Timothy 4, 5, fulfill your ministry. None of us have the same ministry, but we are to be faithful to the Lord in whatever ministry He has called us to. In that verse, Paul is addressing Timothy, and Timothy had a ministry that he was to fulfill. And all of us have this unique calling in our lives that He has given us. And some is to have lots of children. Some is to have less children or no children. Again, we should all, every married couple should try to have children. But you find out later, what is the Lord's calling on your life? No matter what, you and I are to make the best use of our time for the Lord's sake, as we consider the unique calling that He has for each of us as individuals and married couples. The more we have, as I said, the more responsibility we have. So we need to weigh that with the ministry that He has given us. So generally speaking, as we summarize here, yes, we are all to support the creation mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is a clear command that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve and all of humanity at the beginning of creation. But this is going to look different for everyone. But no matter what our calling is, we should be thrilled to see the children that are born. How wonderful it has been to see the recent children born into this church. It truly is a delight. As we read in Psalm 127, children are a reward from the Lord. Seeing the birth of children fills us with great hope as we think about their future. Whenever a baby is born in this church, we add another sweet addition to our church family. When a child is born, it is a great gift from the Lord. We should desire lots of these little treasures to come in to this world and into this church. God loves the birth of children, but Satan hates it. And as we promote, encourage, and celebrate new life in this world, we follow the Lord's will. We are called to be about God's agenda, as we also fight against Satan's destructive one. So may the Lord continue to multiply this earth, and may a multitude of those come to know His Son Jesus and live lives that are glorifying to the Lord. That's what we need to pray for and strive for. Now, next Sunday, we're going to switch gears a bit with the question, how to share your faith with those that are professing Christians? Okay, very good question. Because we live in America. Lots of people say that they're Christians. How do we share our faith with someone who professes faith in Christ but does not possess faith in Christ? At this time, we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the command that we see in Genesis 1 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You've given us this command. And we live in a world right now that has about 8 billion people on it. And we're grateful, Lord, for how this world has multiplied, how You have multiplied humanity. And we see Satan's designs. He wants to depopulate this earth, but You want to continue to grow it. There's so many lies out there about population that we need to decline it. They are lies, and they go against Your design. So help us be those in whatever calling You give us to promote the creation mandate to be fruitful and multiply. Thank You for this time. And apply this, Lord, to everyone today, right where they are at. In Jesus' name, amen.